This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 18th, episode 1474, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday. Can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. We had a few false starts this morning, mainly because Jamie's really tired and I'm really tired and it's Monday.
You partied all weekend, and I don't know, where were you?
I was down in Wellington and Fort Lauderdale for the weekend.
That's right. And I went to see the Dixie Chicks last night. Woo-hoo.
Your weekend was full of chicks. Chicks at the movies, chicks, Dixie Chicks. It was all full of chicks.
It was a chick-fueled weekend, and I'm proud to be a woman today. How about that?
Well,
what I'm not proud about is how freaking hot. They had an amphitheater show.
Yeah.
Really?
In Arizona in the summer.
When I got in my car.
Whose idea was that?
Terrible. It must have been cheap to rent the facility. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. I got in my car to drive home at 11 o'clock at night. It was 100 degrees. Are you freaking kidding me? Who lives in places like that?
By the way, we were taking wagers on whether you'd show up this morning, by the way. I lost because I said you would sleep in and forget all about the show.
I feel like I didn't even go to bed. When you go to bed at midnight and get up at 4:30, like that's not even sleep. So I'm probably a little punchy, but I was excited about today's show because, you know, I wanted to talk a little Dixie Chicks. I wanted to talk a little Ghostbusters and I wanted to talk a little, I can't say what I was going to say, but we're going to talk a little bit about our friend Clinton Anderson. So we're going to have all sorts of things coming at you, starting with the Dixie Chicks.
Can I interrupt you 1 second?
Fine.
She's on a roll this morning. She pretty much either had too much caffeine or just not enough sleep or whatever. So I'm down at Fort Lauderdale, right? And I had an hour or two before I had to meet everybody for this podcast meeting we had. So I drove down to the beach. And Fort Lauderdale Beach, pretty long. And
beautiful.
And it's you've been there, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's pretty long, but there's a road that goes right along the beach right there. So it's all the hotels and then the road and then the beach. And they have a sidewalk and everything. I could not. And I drove that road, which is about 10 miles long. I could not count the number of people playing Pokemon at the beach.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God. The just literally there probably would have been a couple hundred of them all along the route. With their phones up, walking along on the sidewalk there by the beach. Now, here we have the ocean. It's beautiful. You have thong bikinis at the beach, right? And at Fort Lauderdale. They don't wear much there. Nope. Everybody was on their phones, looking at their phones. You know those planes that go overhead with the banner, pulling the banners at the beach? Well, this banner was for one of the restaurants, and it said 3 Pokemans and a gym at such and such restaurant. They already had the airplane banners with Pokemon on them. And then I was following this ass in front of me in a Mercedes, a guy, probably in his 40s, in a Mercedes with his phone up, stopping about every 10 feet for a couple of seconds, and he would swipe. You could see he had his phone up in the air, swiping his Pokemons, holding up traffic.
Okay, that's, you know, I mean, my whole thought is like, I am so glad that people are actually outside at the beach. Like, isn't that a good start?
But get out of your Mercedes and walk.
Yeah, well, don't drive in Pokemon. It's just a bad idea. But the fact that people are outside, you know, your battery's going to die.
Yeah, that's true. And I hear it is a battery killer, too, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're going to have to eventually look up because your battery's going to die.
There were not a lot of looking up with that group, let me tell you. I was shocked at the number. There must be a lot of Pokemon. Pokemon monsters must like the beach too, which is, there must be a lot of them there, which is why there were so many people there. But the guy driving in front of me, I almost rear-ended him just for fun of it. He was just kept stopping, in the middle of the road. It's a two-lane road, so you're just stopped. People were honking their horns behind me.
You're like, it's not me. It's the guy playing Pokemon.
Oh, God. Anyway, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? Like, Jamie hasn't already told us about it. But go ahead, anyway. You can tell us about it.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we will have a visit with a thoroughbred makeover competitor, Kyle Rothfuss. And after the break, Leslie Wiley is going to join us as Jamie lets loose on the now famous Clinton Anderson video that was posted on Horse Nation last
week.
Why
is he coming to be hating on it? I mean, why? I could be very supportive. You have no idea.
I just said you were going to let loose. I didn't say positive or negative, did I? You just assumed. You jumped to a conclusion.
You're right.
Who's jumping to conclusions today? First thing she says to us in the free show.
I can guarantee you that the discussion will not be completely negative. And moving on, Jenny from Eventing Nation stops by, and she's going to have another Olympic update. So stay tuned for the freaking fray, folks.
Well, everybody knows, I think, that listens to the show on a regular basis, that there's a group of people, it's most of my friends who in the podcasting world, who are putting together a feature documentary about podcasting, and it's called The Messengers. And most of you have seen the trailer that they did, which was really, really good, and the footage that they're doing is really, really good. Well, at the meeting I was at over the weekend in South Florida for podcasters, they showed another trailer of they had actually gone to Haiti, because one of the podcasters is
Guatemala.
Guatemala, thank you. Look a lot like Haiti, by the way. One of the podcasters is a missionary, and he does his shows from the locations that he does his missionary work. And he was down there installing new stoves for people so they don't have to. In Guatemala, in the poorest sections, they actually have open wood stoves or coal stoves, even worse, right in the kitchens with no ventilation and stuff. And it's really bad for people's health. So they're actually installing stoves, real stoves down there. And he brought the crew down there to film it. And some of the footage they got, they brought the drone along, and you should have seen, Jamie, it was so cute seeing the kids who had never seen a drone before, watching the drone and running and playing with it. It was very, very cool. And they put a little piece together on their trip to Guatemala to film for the movie. And it was so heartwarming. And they also have started an Indiegogo to help pay for all of this. And our listeners we have the best listeners in the world. They've been so supportive. And one in particular, I won't say her name, but I want to thank her. She knows who she is. I've been so supportive in supporting this film, which really features Horse Radio Network as one of the two feature podcasts in the film. And I just want to thank everybody. We have the best listeners, and it moves me greatly to see that.
Yay.
And it was mentioned at the meeting, by the way, that our listeners were stepping up. So good on all of you, and thank you. And I did post a link to that on our Facebook page if you want to see what we're talking about. It's called The Messengers, a podcasting documentary.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a double-sided Daily Winnie. First of all, Daily Winnie to the Dixie Chicks for coming to Phoenix in the middle of July. I don't know why you did, but you did.
Yeah, you were hot. They must have been dying.
It was so incredibly hot. Like, Emily gets out there, Natalie gets out there, the main singer, and she's like, "Brr, this place is freezing." You know, and kind of like the whole thing was fueled with jokes about how hot it was. These women are so talented. I know I talked to a couple of our listeners on Facebook regarding this concert, and so I just wanted to give a quick review. I was an incredible Dixie Chicks fan.
And did they start in the 80s?
No, they started in early 2000s.
No, their main hit was in the middle of the 90s. You talk. I'll look that up.
Okay.
I think they're older than you think they are.
Maybe 95? I don't know. Anyway, so it's been going on a long time, and I was such a huge fan, and there is not an album, I think, that really affected me as a woman more than, you know, I love Wide Open Spaces. I love the album of Fly. I love the album Home. I just really loved, and I hated when they disappeared because I didn't think it was fair. And then they came back, and they haven't been to Phoenix in 10 years. Oh, yeah, I think it's 95. I think you're right, Glenn.
They started actually as a group. They started in 1989.
But Natalie didn't join until like 95.
Yeah, and then that's when they started having their first hits, Fly and Wide Open Spaces and those. Yeah.
And that's great. And so the concert was very hot, but I was ready to like get my Dixie Chick on. I was like, I got to sing quietly because I'm going to come in today and I have to do a show. I figured my voice would be gone. And that would have been true had they played, I don't know, more than 5 of their old songs? Seriously? Every single person in here loved you 15 years ago, and then you roll up with new music and cover songs? Are you kidding me? It was like people sat down and then like they'd play 5 songs and then they'd play one of those songs everybody knows. Okay, and then sit back down. And then they play like 3 songs and then like, what?
The old bands are doing that now. Like, I don't know if they get sick of playing the old stuff.
Gosh,
or
I don't know. I mean, come on. I wanted to hear I Can Love You Better, and I wanted to hear Cold Day in July, and I wanted to hear, you know, so many different songs. Tonight, The Heartache's on Me. Oh, my gosh. I got it. I wanted to listen to the Dixie Chicks on the way home to hear the songs I wanted to hear in the concert. So that's my review. Unbelievably talented women. Holy smokes. And they still look great and they're amazing. And I love them, but I just was super disappointed. It's not like you go to a Garth Brooks show, Garth Brooks is going to play the hits.
Well, and he knows where his bread is buttered.
Yeah. he like at the beginning of the show, he's like, hey, y'all, I'm going to play the hits.
Yeah. Because I know he knows that a bunch of them are going to go out and buy them over again. And
I did not need to hear 3 Patti Smith covers. Not 1, not 2.
Why
3?
Would a group like the Dixie Chicks cover anybody?
I don't know. They were like, we lost this incredible talent, and so we're going to play this song and then another. And then by the last one, they go, okay, we promise this is the last Patti Smith song.
Which one they knew it was bombing. That's the only reason they would say that.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it. So while they're super talented and amazing, I actually want to go back and listen to all the albums so I can hear the songs I wanted to hear in the concert.
Yeah.
Just saying. Hey, if any of you guys are super famous musicians or you become super famous musicians, please note that when you do a concert 20 years after you've released all your music, we want to hear those songs. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, and we have heard that about the old groups going out now and they just aren't playing because they get bored with them. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But you're right.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. So there's my non-Daily Winnie, Daily Winnie. You guys are good, but it wasn't a good show.
Let's talk about Ghostbusters. We did go see it. You saw it. So let's hear your review.
You know what's amazing is everybody I know went and saw it and they're saying it's only made $54 million.
Really? I think our theater was mostly full. And it was like 5 o'clock last night. So.
I went to a 5 o'clock Saturday show and the theater was packed. So I think that there's a little shenanigans going on with the reporting of this because there's a lot of drama associated with the Ghostbusters female remake. So there's you remember when you said on Friday that the Rotten Tomatoes was like 40% from
people,
fans?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's groups, and I didn't even know this was a thing. There's allegedly a group of men's rights that are going on and posting bad reviews and the negative tomatoes or whatever to
These
make
guys
sure.
Without jobs, who has time to do that?
Right? Who cares? It's like it's like the Dixie Chick show. My God, I don't want politics thrown down my throat. That was another part. I just want to hear the damn songs. I just want to watch the movie. Can you guys all shut up for a minute? It was, did you like it?
Well, I want to hear your review first.
I loved it. Like, I loved it so much, I want to go back and see it again in the theater. The women were so funny. Chris Hemsworth was so funny. And you know that the former actors of the Ghostbusters were very supportive of this movie. And that's all I'm going to say. But it was...
Well, I think everybody knows they all make appearances at some point or another.
They all were in it.
Which was kind of fun waiting for him to arrive, you know?
I know. Yeah, yeah. And the way that they kind of did arrive, it's like, oh, there he is. Oh, there he is. And I just thought they did such a great job. And you had told me that this was the same story just remade, and it was not at all.
It was the same story remade. It was the same movie remade.
Glenn, it was not the same movie. You made me think that like the lines are the same. The story was the exact same.
If you go back and watch. Jennifer, you can vote on this. You watched both of the Ghostbusters movies the day before we went to see it.
Okay.
Was it the same story remade?
He thinks it's the same movie remade.
This was not the same movie remade in the same way that Star Wars was. No, it definitely was a remake, not a continuation of the story, not an offshoot from the story. It was the same story remade, but I think they made enough changes in the backstories of some of the characters and things like that, that if the first Ghostbusters movie never existed, God forbid, this one could stand alone as a movie.
Yes. Okay, well, this is my time to do the review, and it was not the same story. I mean, I think it paid homage to the original Ghostbusters, but I thought they did a really good job of kind of recreating and restarting, but they put in a lot of the same touches and a lot of these little kind of, like, it was campy in parts, but I liked that. I'm glad it didn't take itself too seriously, and I thought it was great. The only part that I didn't love, because you have to throw a little negative, is I think that they edited too much. Like, a couple times I was like, wait a second. Wait, what happened there?
And I know the scenes you're talking about. Scenes. And it was almost like, why'd they even put it in? Because it didn't make sense.
Like, yeah. It's like, didn't you guys watch this at the end and realize that you edited that part out of the story where you would understand why she left? You know, I mean, it didn't. So it's just like, they were like, okay, we got to get this thing down. It's too long. Okay, cut.
Well, and I think they did that with the evil guy. It's like got no backstory on it. He just...
Yeah, he... Yeah.
There was no story about who he was or why he was or, you know, there was no... You didn't hate him because you didn't know anything about him.
The deleted scenes are going to be really influential, I think, as far...
The director's cut when it comes out on DVD. Yeah. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you agree about the evil guy? I kind of was going, I'm not really hating on him because I don't know anything about him. We don't even know who he is.
No, they just edited. There's parts that were just cut out. But overall, I got the whole picture. I understood what's happening.
Yeah.
And did you stay all the way?
Yes, we did. Because we had heard that there was something at the very, very end.
Very, very, very end, which I don't think I had to sit there through the whole thing. Somebody could just told me.
I'm
pretty excited about that.
Now, wait a minute. Let's just dwell on the credits for a little bit longer. Way before the Easter egg, after the credits.
There was a lot of funny stuff. Yeah.
The first 6 minutes of the credits were the best part because I think that this may be Mr. Hemsworth's most wonderful performance ever.
I think you're right.
Particularly during the credits.
I'll throw in my 2 cents, you're going to hate it. So my 2 cents is I thought it was a good movie, worth seeing. Does it live up to the first one? No. I thought the funniest one in the movie was Chris Hemsworth. I think this movie would not have been a movie with that. He is a better comedian than he is a serious actor.
He was so funny.
Oh, he was.
I can't say, you know, I there's so many men that are hating on this movie that I almost don't
even
care.
I like the women. You know who I like? Leslie Jones. She was great. I love Kristen Wiig and whatever she's in. Melissa McCarthy almost had a serious role in a lot of this movie. She wasn't necessarily always the comedian. Leslie Jones is hilarious. You know who I couldn't stand was Kate McKinnon.
She was my favorite.
Oh, I couldn't stand her. I thought she was forced. Her acting was terrible. Oh, I would not have hired her if she had applied for my acting company. It was just all forced and fake.
Oh, gosh. She looked like she was the funniest one to me. Listen, just stop. Let me just stop you.
I just thought she was terrible.
Well, you're wrong, first of all. No.
Leslie Jones was the funniest.
No, I thought Kate McKinnon was the funniest. And actually, I talked to a lot of people afterwards
I think that's a male-female thing.
Finish my sentence before you cut me off. Jesus, you're such a man today. I talked to a bunch of women, and all the women thought she was the best part of it. So I think it's definitely a gender role thing. And I'm so frustrated with reading the reviews from men that I'm like just checking out of your review completely because it doesn't seem.
No, I said I'd like the movie. I think you should go see it. I just didn't like her as an actor. I thought she was terrible. Chris Hemsworth was great. Leslie Jones was great. Kristen Wiig was great. Melissa McCarthy's always good. She was the one I thought of the four that was just lagged behind acting-wise.
Oh, my gosh. When he says, which one makes me look smarter? Which one makes me look like a doctor when I'm playing the saxophone?
Oh, and you were right. We got the shirtless shots in.
You have to have a shirtless shot of him. It won't be a movie. God,
and if you stay through the credits, you're going to see many more.
Well, see, my point with the credits was I sent Lucas and Abby, my little babysitter, over to go watch Dory. It started 5 minutes before Ghostbusters. So I sent them to go see Dory, and I went to go see Ghostbusters. And Abby texted me. She's like, it's over. And the credits were, I was like the very end of the movie. So I said, come in, I'll give you some money for the arcade. And I gave her $20. And I said, just go get change at the concession stand. I'm like, get out, because it's like the end of the movie. And I come back out and I go, okay, where's my change? Watching the damn credits cost me $20.
Was it worth it to see Chris shirtless?
And so I'm like, yeah, I could have watched him dance around for not $20. I could have paid less money to go to the strip club and watched guys dance around.
You could have went home and just looked him up on the internet. I mean,
Yeah. So when I stayed all the way through to the Easter egg at the end, I really didn't need to spend $20 to do that. I'm like, I go, Abby, you just spent more than the movies combined in all the food we bought. Okay. I'm like, you're 14 and don't know the value of a dollar.
Abby's never going to babysit for you again.
Yes, she will, but I'm not giving her $20 to entertain my child for 5 minutes. Although he did win a stuffed animal out of the machine from the secret.
Nobody ever wins a stuffed animal out of the machine. Was it the little claw
one? Well, it cost $20.
Yeah, exactly.
$20, you can win something, by God. Yeah, he won the big animal from The Secret Life of Pets. He won the dog, whatever. Whatever, I don't know. I don't care. All I know is I had no change from a $20 bill, and I was shocked. Shocked. I'm like, were you just putting money into the machines and leaving? Like, you didn't have time to play that many games.
So it's interesting. I just looked up. Ghostbusters again on Rotten Tomatoes to see if now that more people have seen it, if the numbers have gone up on the fan side to overcome the apparently haters, and it's almost at 60% now with the fans.
Well, maybe I'll post a review. I don't know.
No, I thought it was good. We have a disagreement on a certain actor. That's all. But I thought it was good. It's a good movie. Am I going to remember it in 20 years? Probably not.
I can't wait to go see it again. So,
I don't think I'd see it again.
I would also like to point out that you and I, our taste vary.
No, it's completely opposite. Let's be honest.
So the fact that you posted, our tastes are different, and you posted on Facebook that you liked that show, that nerd show, whatever it's called, and then Big Bang Theory, and then you said, a couple people don't like that show. And then overwhelmingly, the people that posted did not like that show.
Oh, no. I think you're at about 20% that don't like the show now. I think you're still a minority. By the way. Anyway, I got to go visit Emily, who does the jumping episode down in Wellington over the weekend, and I have a story to tell you about that. So we went out to dinner, and then the next morning she went and did her riding routine. She's basically a professional rider. She goes and trains horses at different people's farms, and that's what she does all day. She probably has the job most horse women want, in that she shows up, the horse is already tacked up by the groom. She goes out and rides. She rides and rides and rides, and then comes back, jumps and jumps, and or flat work, whatever it is for that horse, comes back, and the next one's ready.
Oh my gosh, how cool.
All day long, from different beautiful farm to different beautiful farm in Wellington. And Wellington, you have the haves and have-nots, and the dividing line is like one road. You come from, you know, drug dealer house to multi-bazillion dollar mansion. Across the street from each other. It's so evident when you drive around Wellington. And so I went by Bill Gates' block now, his block that he owns there. We saw that. Where her farm is that she's working most of the time, and where she has her horses. And the baby, by the way, is so stinking cute. That baby is so cute. Big ears.
Horsey baby.
Horsey baby, yes, is so cute. But where she has hers, kind of on the outskirts of Wellington in the not-so-richy area. It's a nice farm, a nice house the guy built and everything. But guess what's next door? Remember we talked about the slaughter place that the people all got arrested in Wellington for slaughtering animals? That's the farm next door. I mean, there's some trees and stuff, so you don't really see it, but they're over there. And then on the other side is a drug dealer's house. And I tell you, there must have been 50 cars coming in and out of there all day long.
The slaughter place or the drug dealer?
The drug dealer's house. Apparently, they're not slaughtering there anymore, but she said there are drunken parties all the time. So she said, you do hear that. She said it's either a drunken party on the drug dealer side or the other side with the slaughter people, who apparently have Pasifinos and ride around drunk a lot. So it's an interesting place where she lives, where she trains her horses and does everything. And that's the thing, though. You'll have that on either side, and then you'll have a $5 million farm right next to that. It's just the haves and have-nots are so evident in Wellington. It's just incredible. I had not driven around the outskirts and done the trip that we did. I went and watched her ride several horses, and it was really evident. It was very interesting how evident it was. But it was fun. You know, she truly has the dream job that you would probably love. You know, just show up. The groom has the horse ready exactly the way you want it, with the bit and the bridle and the saddle you need. And then she gets on and she rides. And she does that all day long in the 100-degree heat. But she does it all day long. And that's what she does.
Wow.
And gets paid to do it. And so,
not a bad gig.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig. I wonder what the schooling ride in Wellington goes for. Not that you would have asked her how much she makes per ride, but just as a person who rides people's horses for
probably a little more than you can get.
Yeah, I don't think Waddell, Arizona and Wellington, Florida are the same, and which is why I'm curious as to what the training ride goes
yeah
for.
I don't know, but I'm assuming it's not $20.
Emily, message me, because I make 25 and I bet I top you.
I think it's a little more than that. I kind of think it is. But it was a fun trip down to see her. Had a good time hanging out with Emily and seeing, you know, this is the first time I've ever seen her ride. And all the time we've known her, I've never seen her ride.
You just had to believe her.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's you? Okay.
And she can ride, by the way. She can ride. And then I went to the end of the podcasting meeting in Fort Lauderdale with the Pokemon people. So there you go. There was my weekend. It was fun. We did have a good time.
Okay, cool.
Got to see some old friends at the podcasting meeting.
Good.
But you know what? There's something else that we've been trying out here at the farm. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago Scooter had a cough? He started to develop this cough. It had gotten kind of dry, and we didn't have the daily rains like we usually do. And with all the sand and everything, and he loves rolling the sand. He loves rolling anything. And he had developed this cough, and he would cough during the night. We'd hear him actually out because the paddock's right beside our house. We'd hear him out at night, and you bring him in the morning, he'd be coughing. So we decided to try the Respa-Free. And that's the Omega Alpha product. And Jennifer's been giving it to him. I don't know if Jennifer's on here or not, but she's been giving it to him about 3 weeks now. And this is a liquid, so you squirt in his mouth, and cough's gone. As a matter of fact, the cough was gone in about a week and a half, but we've just used up the bottle. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, gave the last one today. But the cough is gone. He hasn't been coughing at all. And he was coughing a lot during the day. So I got to tell you, the Respifree really works.
I've used the Respifree before, too, and I had the same experience. Chili would always cough when he went out to ride. And when you got a little tiny person holding the reins, they, you know, when they cough, they throw their head down
go off the top.
Unseat the rider.
You got kids about flying over his head. So I was like, I got to do something. So I did the Respifree too. I also did a lung flush to start with, which is what they recommend too. So I did a little bit of lung flush and then the Respifree and gone. And so when it's really blowing dust here in the monsoon season, I will get the Respifree out for most everybody.
Yeah, it does work. Yeah. And you guys have dust even worse than we do.
Yeah.
Out there.
No, you have you don't have dust. You have sand.
I was
this
sand. Yeah,
is the haboobs are coming.
Yeah. That's true.
You're good. Hey, my favorite part about the Respifree is it says right on the label, only use a dose syringe. Don't put it in their feet. So of course we didn't. And the first couple of days, of course, you have to back him into a corner and shove the syringe into his mouth. Whenever I get the syringe out, he stretches his neck out and opens his little lips and sucks the syringe into his mouth so I can put it in.
He likes it?
He loves it.
He loves it.
Oh, my gosh. How cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you had the same experience, but he loves it. He loves the taste of it.
He loves it. He licks his little lips.
It must be sweet. He likes anything sweet. He's a sugar addict. So I don't know if it's sweet or not, but.
Try it.
Jennifer did, and she
I tasted it.
Up.
It tastes like a cough drop. It tastes like a whole cough drop.
It does. It smells like a cough drop, too, actually. But as we know, all the Omega Alpha products are all natural, so we don't have to worry about what we're giving them. And if you have a horse that has a little bit of a respiratory issue or is coughing, then take a look at the Respifree. Respifree at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, we have our first guest on the line here today. We can stop arguing about movies now and move on with the show.
And we're going to argue just a little bit later. But now we're going to actually talk to Kyle Rothfuss, who is in the Thoroughbred Makeover. And this is going to be the second time. And he's on a horse from New Vocations that he adopted. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you so much.
I was going to say happy anniversary to Jennifer. I saw that was on the
Thank you very much.
So happy anniversary.
You know what I did?
Big weekend.
You know what I did, Kyle, over the weekend? I had never tried this before, but I knew I had to do something because I was actually gone on our anniversary and didn't want to get divorced after 28 years. I tried the Sherry's Berries. Have you heard of Sherry's Berries? They advertise everywhere.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
Oh, my. We had never tried them before. They're like $1,000 a berry, but they're chocolate-covered berries and white chocolate, dark chocolate, just amazing chocolate. They are unbelievably good. You are right, Jamie. They are so good.
I got a box and I was like, oh, great. 4 strawberries. Thanks. And I'm like, oh, my God. These are the best strawberries I've ever had. Good job, Glenn.
This is not a commercial, but God, you are going to spend a fortune, but they are really good.
Like, you got me 4 strawberries, you cheap jerk. Really? And then I'm like, oh.
That was $100. Yeah.
$100.
Yeah. Because they have to ship them in this ice and the packaging must cost $50.
But anyway,
there's my piece of advice, Kyle. Sherry's Berries.
I will check them out.
All right. Are you 28 years yet? Are you 28 years?
No. Nowhere near.
Okay. All right. It's probably good for 10 years, too.
I
think it's good anytime, just random days.
Just a daily, if you have the disposable income, it's a good daily treat.
Yes, if you live in Wellington.
Exactly.
So, Kyle, you're in the Thoroughbred Makeover this year, your second time. Tell us about your horse that you're competing with.
So, I have a mare named Moon. That's actually her jockey club name. Simple name, Moon, just simply Moon. So nice and easy. Nice to get those 4 letter. And actually, I think it's a good sign because Lindsay Partridge, who won last year, her jockey club, her horse, barn name is Khaleesi, but her jockey club name was Thor. So I said, okay, maybe it's a 4 letter name thing. So maybe we have a good chance this year.
Oh, that's cool.
But she came to me through New Vocations, which I've worked with them, just volunteered for the last couple years, and got to know them really well. And Moon is a mare by Pleasant Tap, which I've always loved as a sire. And she's out of an affirmed mare, so she's got some nice, great thoroughbred breeding. She raced 35 times. She did, okay, she got made like 78,000 at the track. and retired. Her last race was in November. I got her in January and didn't get on her at all until about a month ago. I tend to start things really slow. I do a lot of groundwork. We did 5 months of ground driving, long line ground driving, lots of in-hand work. I get on bareback the first time I ride. I start them. So we did about maybe 5 to 10 bareback, just walk trot, like little trot, but walk trot rides. And I'm on to ride number 7 under saddle. So she's great, super athletic, very inquisitive, very willing, but very, she's very balanced. I've seen her rearing in the paddock and walking on her, literally taking steps on her hind legs. So I'm hoping that doesn't come out under saddle at all, or I will be on the ground. But she's been a lot of fun so far. So we're excited to get to, we're going to be competing in dressage, and is the plan right now, dressage and a freestyle routine. But that might switch to competitive trail once I get her out on the trails and see how she's doing there.
Wow. Okay. So you've got your 7th ride on her. When is the makeover? It's October, yep. Right?
Yep. October 27th to 30th.
Wow. So end of October is the Thoroughbred makeover. Yep. And you're thinking about competitive trail. You're riding dressage. Now, what is your background?
So I grew up riding with a Western reining coach. So I grew up a reiner, if you want to call it that, as much as when I was a teenager. And then I actually got into dressage when I was at college. I was working as a camp counselor at a YMCA camp, and the CHA instructor actually was a Grand Prix dressage rider back from Belgium. She had an amazing resume, awesome woman, Nicole Zoot Osterbeyer. She'd be a great guest actually for the show sometime. She's out in Virginia, and she got me interested in dressage. I learned dressage on an Appaloosa in a Western saddle with an X strap. And we
Good
did
Lord.
Tai Chi ball. Yeah, we did Tai Chi ball work, trampoline work, a very different approach to kind of building that foundation. But then I got the privilege of being a working student at Hilltop Farm out in Maryland. So that was kind of where I got started professionally in the dressage world, which was great. It was back at a time when Hilltop's still an awesome farm. Michael Bragdell, the head trainer there, is an amazing guy. It was a privilege to kind of get started that way. And then I ended up I worked in the thoroughbred racing industry for one of the bloodstock agents and got to help with the weanlings and yearlings. So I kind of had a very diverse, I've never had a single track approach to horses. It's always been kind of a little bit of Western, a little bit of English, a little bit of different breeds, you know, quarter horses, warm bloods, thoroughbreds, and drafts. I tend to not understand the Arabians very well. I live on an Arabian breeding farm, ironically, but I'm not smart enough for them. So I haven't really done much with them. They're a little smarter than me. But I've fallen in love with the thoroughbreds and kind of when I got back into it, I took 15 years off of riding altogether. When I got back into it about 2 years ago, I got an off-track thoroughbred because what else would I get? And have been back into riding now about 2 years. Now I'm up to 3 mares. I love mares. So I'm a off-track thoroughbred mare guy. It's kind of my thing, but I do a little bit of blended. I'm looking at getting back into reining now and doing some Western dressage. Recently learned about cowboy dressage. So that's kind of where my track will go over the next few years of my life, kind of pursue that a little bit and see what that's all about.
Okay. I have a question. Why mares? Why? Then we'll get to the question of why thoroughbreds, but why mares first?
Yeah. I get that all the time. Obviously I seem to connect better with them. And I don't know if it's a guy girl thing in the sense of, you know, not all guys obviously are all mare guys, but I don't tend to, I think they give you so much more once you build the relationship. So geldings, and I think part of my challenge is with a stallion, they're too needy. The ones that I've experienced, right? They have a very specific routine. They need that. And then with a gelding, I think I expect them to be perfect all the time because they're a gelding and that's kind of the reputation that they're supposed to have, right? They're supposed to always be perfect. And when they're not perfect, I get frustrated. And you kind of have that like head-to-head testosterone argument of, you know, well, I said do this. Why didn't you listen to me the first time? Where a mare, I'm a lot more patient. I tend to find that once you win them over, I mean, my one mare is, she's not hot, but she's Freya, who was my makeover mare last year. We can have 45 minutes of bucking in a warm-up ring, but I'd never give up. I laugh the entire time because it's not like I'm going to unseat you bucking. It's I'm annoyed. Why are we at the show? I don't want to be here bucking.
So once you break through, she's good.
Yeah.
So it's actually not the horse. It's your approach to the horse. It has nothing to do with the attitude of the horse. It's just you being more patient with women.
Yep, I think that's what it comes down to, and I think it makes it seem as though it's the horse, because, you know, I like that little bit of fire in their belly, you know, that people kind of, you know, give mares a hard time for being grumpy and grouchy. I like that. To me, that gives me something to work with. You know, I'm a puzzle solver kind of guy. I like doing problem solving. I have a full-time job as a business strategist, and so I'm very big on tearing things apart, process improvement ideas. So I look at it and I say, okay, why is she doing that? I like to look at the psychology behind it, and a mare to me I personally seem to have figured out their psychology a little bit better than I can the gelding.
I think they've figured out your psychology.
I mean, they know how to push me around.
This with the gelding, this with the stallion, but with the mare, I'm super patient.
Yep.
You know, having owned both, I can see what you're saying, though, because I kind of almost am the same way about, I've almost had an easier time with the mares I've owned than the geldings.
I wonder if it's because you guys are scared of women and you're like, okay, we'll do this slower, we'll be nicer.
You know what's true, though? In I don't know if this is true for you in real life, Kyle. I have more female friends than I have male friends.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Same here.
He's a dressage riding man. Of course he has more female
friends. We're men in the horse world. We're going to have more female friends just because there are
exactly,
more.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's a numbers game there.
All right, you guys talk your herd stuff.
I want to talk to you a little bit about, well, first of all, good luck at the makeover coming up.
Yeah, very good luck. We can't wait to follow you.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the business side, too. You were social media and digital marketing for Retired Racehorse Project for a long time. So let's geek out a little bit, because a lot of our listeners deal in the marketing world and in some way, shape, or form in the horse world. So what... Let's talk a little bit about the changes in digital marketing. I mean, with Facebook changing things where it's almost impossible to get your posts seen by anybody anymore when you're on the business side. And, you know, just everything keeps changing every 10 minutes. There's 45 platforms. So where do you see it all going? What's working and what's going to work in the future?
Well, I think the biggest thing that the way that Facebook's been changing is becoming smarter, and it's becoming, you have to be more genuine. So I think that's the key to any kind of good marketing, is just being genuine. So my Facebook page for my OTTB training page on Facebook a couple months ago had 300 likes. It has over 1,000 now. I don't do any paid advertising. I'm not a full-time horse guy, but it's growing organically because I post very sincere videos. I show the bad with the good. I'm not afraid to say kind of like, okay, here's me falling off the horse, or here's the horse rearing in hand, or here's this. And then also, you know, kind of go with the very, you know, sharing other people things. But so where I see it going with kind of marketing in the future is that it's just going to be better at picking up kind of the BS detector. So it used to be, when it first started, it was a great platform for advertising. Facebook, Twitter, all of them were a great way for you to just get advertising out there.
Yeah,
oh, here's me.
Yeah.
Here's my for free. Yeah. Here's my soapbox. Because there wasn't a lot to compete with now. Now, in order to get your content in front of it, you need to have a sharing audience. You need to have an engaged audience. So the reach, as much as that has changed, that you might not have 100,000 people see something. You might have 10,000. But the difference now is, if it only gets seen by 10,000, do they take action? I think that's really where the marketing world, as far as the digital marketing world, is going toward this actionable item piece. It used to be like with Google, with the algorithms there too, it was just about how many people were on your site. Now they're starting to factor in a lot more pieces around how long are they on your site? How many pages did they click through? So kind of that sticky idea of, which you'll probably understand, but the idea of, you know, keeping someone stuck on your page because they click from thing to thing to thing.
Well, and actually we have a little bit of an advantage that way, and we do very well with Google on SEO. And that's because when people come to our page, they tend to be there a lot longer because they're listening to a show. So, you know, they could be there an hour, which just really skews our numbers for average time on the page. You still get the people coming in and out, but like you always do, but it does help us having that longer time that people are spending there to listen to a sound file.
Yeah. I think now the algorithms that are getting built, or the bots or whatever you want to call them, are actually becoming a lot more, they're able to kind of find what's legitimate content versus just what's content, you know, just words on the page versus words on the page that are saying something to someone, or diverse content. Like in your case, right? Like I put up a lot of video does great for me. Like my video engagement I have, you know, around 1,000 followers, and I'll have videos that are viewed by 15,000. So it's just that idea, though, that the video itself, I take some time to put in my, it's not great. I mean, I have a poorly lit indoor. It's not high quality, you know, video, but it's definitely something that it's more genuine. And I think it doesn't just, and the cute stuff still works, right? You have to have a balance between everything. You know, I think it's a way of,
the stupid stuff is always going to be the most popular. It's just the way
it always is. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, my horse is eating watermelon. It is just, you know, oh, that's the funniest thing in the world. Really? That's what got you excited? Okay, great. Well, here's this really highly valuable content that actually teaches you something and you just look at it.
Yep, right.
But it's because Google, or Facebook, Google, all of them are figuring out, like, okay, let's look at the things that are getting shared now. You know, your share rates and your engagement rates are, I think, what are the most important. But from a horse world perspective, I think it's important to remember, too, that it's a very local, most times, I mean, you have your big national, like I'm looking for a national presence because come October, I need votes for the Ambassador Award. And right. So that's going to be a bigger platform. And I'm an ambassador for New Vocations, which is a national organization. So I want to make sure, you know, I'm an ambassador for Retired Racehorse Project. It's a national. But thinking locally, people tend to forget to go out and do what they used to do, which is go to a horse show and make friends. I just talked to someone recently, a friend of mine, who just relocated her business and huge following in California where she was. And now she's in Virginia and she's having trouble finding kind of that following. And I said, just go to the other barn, find it. You're a jumper. Go to a dressage barn and pair up with them. Hey, can I come teach jumper lessons? If you come teach dressage, like make those personal friendly relationships and then in person ask those people to follow you because you'll have more of a sharing when you have a genuine audience, you'll have genuine followers who will share and engage versus the ones that are just numbers on a page and you know, oh, great, I have 500,000 likes. Well, that's awesome, but only five people actually
talk to you.
Content.
Yeah.
So the others, you know, the others aren't doing anything.
Well, where can
it's
people...
It's a very local business.
Where can people follow you?
So it's on Facebook. It's Facebook OTTB Training.
And
so just facebook.com/OTTB training. And my website, which I don't put a lot of attention into, but it's OTTBtraining.com.
Okay, very good. And we put a link to it in our Facebook page, and we'll also put a link to it in our show notes, which helps us out with our SEO, too. So,
I appreciate it. Yeah, I know. All the links are always good.
Thank you, Kyle.
It helps out a lot.
And good luck. We'll be following you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kyle.
Take care.
Take care.
Of course. You have a great day.
Well, this Friday coming up, we're going to have our special CD release party and we with Jared Rogerson. And this is actually Jamie's last show for the week. So I thought I'd give you this to send you off on your trip.
Wildflowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead plays song in her head. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. She could end the war with just a smile. She can drive a tractor, baling hay for miles and miles. She says in a sense, grows right out of the ground. She believes in heaven and what goes around comes around. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
that song that he sang about two books with different covers, but the pages are the same. As certain as a river in the spring, you seal a deal with a handshake. That's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is the one thing that can change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
That is Jared Rodgerson, Peace, Love, and Horses. Glenn, thanks for playing that. I'm actually tomorrow hoping to get on a plane and go to Wyoming. So maybe there's like a 1 in a million chance that Jared might be actually in the town I'm going to be in on Wednesday, I think. So that might happen. It could happen.
I guarantee you Jared will play all your old favorites.
I'm going to be the guy in the audience going, Peace, Love, and Horses. Oh, it's going to be ugly.
He will play all the oldies, I guarantee you.
Now, and Leslie Wiley's here. She should do a little segment on Jared because he's adorable. He's got a master's degree. He's a cowboy, and he's a singer. He's amazing. He's amazing. Super talented.
Salt.
Right? All right. Leslie Wiley is here. And we're going to talk a little Clinton Anderson here in a minute.
It's all her fault.
Should I? It is your fault. Should I talk to you about your horse trial first?
Always. Ponies okay. first.
Okay. So I talked on Friday. I was like, okay, Leslie's taking her pony to her first ever horse trial as a team, you know, it's going to go great. I'm so excited. And then I look up the scores this morning and you never want to finish with a letter versus a number. And not only that, you did not finish with a normal letter like R for retired or E for eliminated, you finished with a TE, which means technical elimination. Oh my God, do tell. This is going to be good. Have the butt ready, Glenn.
I don't even know what a TE is. So
it's rare, but it happened.
Leave it to Leslie.
What happened, Leslie?
Well, first, let me say that Princess was perfect. She was amazing. We jumped double clears around stadium and cross country. She ran away with me maybe a little bit, but we're working on it. But she was fabulous, and she had the best time ever.
How was your dressage? Let's start with dressage. How was dressage?
Well, the dressage, she was actually a lot chiller than I thought she was going to be. That's when the brain farts on my end started. We got an error. I cantered in the wrong corner. I kept giggling during the test. I was so excited. We jigged a little bit in the walk, which, you know, we got a 4 on the walk.
Judges love it when you laugh the whole way through the test.
Yeah. So that's
dressage
a cool
dressage judges. They just love that stuff.
I know. I'm sure he's just like, what is up with this girl? Like, simmer down, guys. Yeah. So Prim was a little excited. I was a little excited. We got a 37. So that's not awful with,
that's
you know,
not awful.
Great. And, you know, like we got a 4 on the walk, but everything else was like, you know, somewhere between like us, you know, a 6 and an 8. So
I just took the Mustang to his first one and he got a 40. So you did good.
We didn't make
errors.
we didn't screw up.
You just picked wrong leads up, but go ahead.
But yeah, so dressage, I was actually really happy with it. Show jumping was a little bit land speed record, but you know, those jumps are so little, they're just like little speed bumps. They just don't slow her down. You gotta jack that stuff up.
Those are, by the way, she's running 3 foot for those who are keeping tally at home, and 3 foot and your pony's 13.2. And those
almost,
are speed.
She's almost 14 hands.
Yeah, don't
almost.
Get that wrong. She's almost 14 hands.
I do believe you thought you purchased a 13.3 hand pony, and the last time we were on, you're like, I think she measures closer to 13.2.
I thought she was 14.1, but then I looked at her pony card and she's actually not quite 14 hands.
Okay, so that was 1 inch off. My bad. Carry on. So stadium, she was fast but clean.
Fast but clean. Cross country, she was, I mean, she could, like, we both were so happy to be out there on course. She got to snowballing. I felt a little bit like a kid getting run away with by the end. I was having the brakes kind of went out a little bit. But so, you know, I thought that I'd figured out, I've been getting eliminated from events for like 20 years now. Like, I thought I had this thing down. Like, I thought I'd gotten eliminated from every way possible, like from, you know, carrying a dressage whip into the dressage ring back when that wasn't allowed. Forgetting to put my spurs on for an intermediate test, jumping out of the dressage arena, going off course, jumping the wrong jump, you know.
There's a billion ways to get eliminated. One of the ways my friend did was her chin strap came undone and right in front of a fence. And so she jumped the fence, then snapped a chin strap, got eliminated. So there's a million ways to get eliminated.
A million ways.
And you've done most. And I've done most.
Most of them. Well, let's
all just pause for a second.
I don't want to be that girl.
It's my theme song, girlfriend. I'm happy to hand it off to you. All right. So TE equals technical elimination. Yes. What did you do? We've determined it was not
Princess. Were you wearing the wrong color underwear? What was it there, Leslie?
So the third from the last fence was... apparently, it was a jump with an option, but I thought that the option was just another jump. I thought we had to jump both of them. So I jumped both of them, and apparently you can't jump the jump and the option.
Extra credit for that.
Exactly. Jumped so nice, I jumped it twice.
Bonus points,
right? One to grow on. I did finish the course, and then later, you know, somebody who'd seen me out there was like, you realize that you jumped the jump and the option, right? I was like, huh, wonder if that's probably not allowed, huh?
We know there are options and hobbits. That's weird though, right? Like, I would just thought that.
Did your stomach sink? Did you just get that sinking feeling? Like,
no, I felt that could not even take me down off of the cloud that I was on. I was so happy to be out there this weekend. I had so much fun. Like, you could put any letter next to our name you wanted to. And our goal this weekend was just to like get to know each other and get out there, knock off some rust and make it to the finish flags. And we sure did. And she was great. And so, you know, like that matters way more to me than like anything that's on paper. Like, I really, really could care less.
Very good. Good for you. Good for you. Like, I like my goal for the horse trial. You always have to go into it with a goal. And this is for horse showing at all. And those of you guys listening, I know it's horse show season. We have a lot of listeners that are coming up. Set a goal for yourself ahead of time and just try to reach that goal. And and Leslie's goal was to get to know each other, knock some rust off. My goal was to give my horse 3 good rides. Mm-hmm. You know, and to do him justice and give him 3 good rides. And I felt like we accomplished both of those things.
Yeah. I remember some of those other horses you were riding in the past where Jamie's only goal was don't die.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had that. That's literally it, just to not be that guy and don't die. And usually I didn't die, but I was always that guy or that girl. Hence the music. So there you go. So, well, congratulations. I'm glad you finished eliminated with a smile on your face.
Absolutely. And yeah. And as far as goals go, you know, like literally to quote from my column that I wrote about going to the show last week, our goal was to find the Finnish flags. And maybe I should have been more specific. Like, you know, find the Finnish flags and...
In the correct order.
Only jump the ones I'm supposed to.
I think you'd get bonus points for that. I think they have that all wrong.
I think so, too. I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't the only one that did it, too. There were several other riders who got a little confused out there.
I've never seen an option in novice, so that's crazy. So you must have not been alone. Hey, let's get to the elephant in the room. What happened this weekend is you guys posted, I believe on Friday, a video of Clinton Anderson. Mm-hmm. And this video of Clinton Anderson is him training a horse, and I'm trying to get to the Horse Nation article. What was the title of it?
There's a link in the show notes, Jamie.
Okay, so there's a link in the show notes. Right?
Your show notes underneath the song. You'll find
okay.
It.
But the title of the article is "Let's Discuss Clinton Anderson Video Controversy."
And was it your biggest article last week or the entire year? I mean, right? You've had a ton of views on that, baby.
Yeah, how many did it? I'm trying to see.
It has a lot.
It has 133 comments. Nobody gets 133 comments on their website anymore.
135 now. Yeah, and then not to mention all the Facebook shares and everything. So the reason that this is controversial, I think, is twofold. One is the training that you will see in this video. And apparently to some people, that is not as controversial as it is to other people. Because I feel like the comments of watching his video, like the first comment up is good training information. Let me just keep going. So some people, I'm in agreement with Anderson. And then you have my comment. Oh my God. For those of you that think this is okay, you must not have been listening at about 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in the recording. And we're going to play that. But I do go back to say that the training is unbelievable. It was total roll cur. Like what roll cur is, it's actually illegal in the FEI. It's hyperflexion of the horse's neck. And it's defined as flexion of the horse's neck achieved through aggressive force. And it is banned by the FEI. Mm-hmm. And watching this, did you agree, Leslie, that he has this horse in Rolker like the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, the horse's nose is pretty much, there's a few moments when he sort of like gets to stretch out long and low. But yeah, the horse's nose is on its chest pretty much.
So the horse is in the roll cur. Yeah, it gets to stretch out. That's when he says that he's going to. So the reward when the horse behaves is I'm going to drop him down. And he lets go of the face and trots him in like a tiny little circle. And that's the reward, is trotting in a tiny little circle. He goes to do flying lead changes. I'm going to pull no punches. Let me tell you something. I went to a Clinton Anderson clinic and I behaved myself when I got back here. And on this radio show, I behaved myself and I did not say what I meant to say, and I've regretted it ever since. So let me just, I'm going to take the gloves off. On the flying lead changes, Leslie, when you get a flying lead change, is your horse counterbent with his nose to your stirrup, or is your horse straight?
Well, straight, yeah.
Not in this video. He has him counterbent to where the horse's nose is on the opposite stirrup, and then, shocker, the horse doesn't get the flying lead change very well. And then the second time, kicks out and bucks, where then he begins the whole idea of you need to kick the horse's ass. The only good flying lead change occurred when the horse was straight, if you watch the video. Mm-hmm. There's three flying changes. Only one that was good was when he was straight. And he's like, oh, there it is. Like, you jackass, this is the first time you haven't yanked his face to the opposite side of his body. Horses don't go out in the field and do flying lead changes with their neck bent around. They do flying changes when they're straight. That's why you got the good one when he was straight. Carrying on, the comments. The training was in itself. Apparently, people train horses like that. I don't find that ass kicking works, but let's just... Even if you saw the training and
you
were like...
Yeah, you read the comments. 70% agreed with that part.
I really feel that the 70% of the people who agreed with the training, first of all, it hurts me to watch horses be ridden like this. It hurts the horse. I feel like, Leslie, maybe you agree with me, because you're an eventer and I'm an eventer, and you can't go galloping up to a 4-foot cross country fence with a horse that is afraid of you or is not your friend and does not trust you. Mm-hmm. And to me, this kind of riding, oh, great, I can circle my horse around and beat the crap out of it in an arena. But mm-hmm. you take that horse out and try to trust him with your life, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. I just feel like you can't make a horse. Anyway, so I feel like if horses could yelp like dogs, that probably everything would change. It's just unfortunate that they're silent. And I think if you would hear this horse and it could yelp like a dog, it would be whining the whole time.
I would like to point out also that the horse that he's riding in this video is a 3-year-old stallion. It's 3.
Okay. That's another part. There you go. Watch the video of the training and surmise what you will. I cried 3 times in the Clinton Anderson Clinic because of what I saw happening to a horse. 3 times live in front of me. And it was a mash horse, which is why I had free tickets, because I support them. They gave me these tickets and to go see this mash horse get trained. This is to me, unfortunately, what is the most controversial. And here's the audio that Clinton starts talking about 4:30 left.
But all studs, from time to time, will test the limits. The stud horses are like teenage boys. Just every once in a while, you just got to knock the shit out of them. You know, it's just that simple. I could say it a simpler way. I could say it more politically correct. But every man watching this video right now knows when you got a 15, 16-year-old boy and he's full of testosterone and he thinks he's the king of the house. Now, every once in a while, you just got to knock the shit out of him for 10 seconds. Just remind them there's a pecking order to this deal. You're dealing with a 1,000-pound animal. And when you let a 1,000-pound stud get the upper hand on you, it's not if he's gonna clean your clock or rape your ass, it's just when and how many times. You get my deal here? Now, the women that are watching this, you know, I make fun of me, these tree-hugging idiots that ride in a bitless bridle.
Wait a minute, I think we just lost the most important part there. Let me go back.
I wanted you to pause it because I wanted to get...
your clock.
Okay.
I wanted to point out that he says it is not... if your stallion is going to rape your ass, it's when. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Is that me?
Yeah, there were a couple comments in there saying he didn't say that, but he did say that.
Oh, he did say that. Yeah. They said, oh, it's going to... people were like, oh, that's just misinterpreting the accent. No. That's not. I listened to it 16 times, and he mentions the word ass. It's not if... your stud is going to rape your ass, it's win. Okay, mm-hmm. Now let's get to the even more offensive.
Yeah, it's right after this, so.
Mm-hmm. Rape your ass, it's just when and how many times. You get my deal here? Now, the women that are watching this, you know, I make fun of me, these tree-hugging idiots that ride in a bitless bridle and, you know, they trail ride and you know, they're close to nature. They hear what I just said and said, that's barbaric. They've never trained a stud horse in their friggin' life.
Do you want me to keep going, or is that enough?
Okay. Oh, keep going.
Okay. All right.
Keep going. Because the most important part is coming up. The time of our life where people are
dying. By the way, Stacey Westfall must love this video, being that she's the one that made bitless riding so popular with her 50 million view video.
Okay, carry on. Play it because...
most of these people that annoy the shit out of me, okay? Never trained a stud horse in their life. They've never trained one. Their whole idea of accomplishment is the horse stand...
Did I? Okay.
You know, I make fun of me, these tree-hugging idiots that ride in a bitless bridle and, you know, they trail ride and you know, they're close to nature. They hear what I just said and said, that's barbaric. They've never trained a stud horse in their friggin' life. And I wish they would, because they'd get killed and that would get rid of most of these people that annoy the shit out of me, okay?
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Who says that when they're in the business to sell stuff and make money? First of all.
Who? I'm sorry. Who says that besides somebody who's going to strap a bomb to their chest and run over people at a parade? I'd rather all those people die because they annoy the S out of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
I mean, we're not parsing words. That's exactly what he said.
He would rather these women, these tree-hugging women, die because they annoy him. Okay, I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you think about he's just saying that. There's some things you just can't say in this day and age, and you cannot wish for your clients to die or just random people to die, because there's enough people dying in the world where it's not funny, and you're not funny, and you're a total a-hole. And I cannot believe that people pay you to watch you abuse animals and abuse people. I went to that clinic. All he did was he would tell, these tree-hugging idiots, and people would laugh. And I thought, is it wrong to want to be peaceful with your animal? Yeah, I think it's cool that my horse comes to the mounting block and stands still. That's great. I also go out and do other things with my horse. And you know what? It takes skill to ride a bitless bridle. Oh my God. What a horrible person. Horrible person. I cannot believe. Well, you know what? It's not like... Hopefully he loses his sponsors, and hopefully the sponsors go, wow, you just wished everybody to die, and we're going to pull our sponsorship, and then you're not going to be able to afford to pay for your RFD. You know, RFD doesn't pay him. He buys that show. So it's not like I could have a show on RFD if I had enough money. Okay. So it's not
about
like
$150,000, by the way.
Yeah. And he has sponsors that pay for it. And it's just unbelievable to watch what happens.
If Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, either one, had said what he just said, they'd be out of the race.
I wish those people that were not going to vote for me would fall off and die. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that I just went on so long and you guys are all quiet and I feel weird now.
No. It's like, sister.
Now, Jennifer, you said you were going to end this on a positive note.
Well, I took it upon myself, particularly once one of our auditors shared the post from Horse Nation in the HRN Auditors Facebook page, which is a closed group. And it provoked just as much discussion there as it did on Horse Nation.
Almost as many comments, actually.
Albeit the vast majority, if not all of the discussion, was the fact that the video and the comments were... offensive and divisive. I took it upon myself to find a silver lining, because that's what I try to do. I grew up in the Clinton Anderson School of Training. I discovered very late in life that it wasn't a good idea. Changed. But what I think can come out of this is he is absolutely correct. This is common practice. Very, very common practice. Where he is wrong is that you don't need to do that. You can. It gets results. Can't deny that. But you don't need to. Mm-hmm. And why should you? Because it's not necessary and it's the wrong thing to do. So maybe some trainers who have followed that path, and I think very many do, at least my personal experience is that many do, will stand up and go, you know, I don't have to.
That's super positive of you, and I hope that it does. I just feel like there's just got to be a better way. And Leslie Wiley, can you imagine sitting on Princess and yanking her face like that and spurring every step and being her 3 years old?
Are you kidding? Princess would be gone.
I would be gone.
Yeah. Princess and Leslie would be in the next state.
But my point is, like, just to be abusive like that. I just
All right, let's
find
go on.
It awful.
Let's move on. Thank you, Leslie. Do you want to hang around? Because Jenny's here to give us an Olympic update, or do you need to run?
I do. Okay. And I also have a fun fact about Jenny. Yesterday was her birthday.
Oh, really? Well, let's say happy birthday, Jenny.
Thank you. Happy I turned 30.
Oh, the big 30. And thank God you're getting us off this topic and onto something more fun. I appreciate that, by the way. So I'm going to give us a little break by playing this for you. Happy birthday, Jenny.
That was a really fun little jingle. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Anything for you. Jenny, of course, is from Eventing Nation, and she stops by on a regular basis to give us kind of an Olympic update of what's going on in Rio. Of course, that's not a train wreck at all either. So, Jenny, what's happening?
Well, the big news is that, you know, the U.S. team has unfortunately had a bit of a shakeup in the last week because Maya Black had to withdraw, doesn't play fair as the traveling reserve after Great Meadow, which was the final mandatory outing for the U.S. team. Unfortunately, he picked up a minor injury and she had to withdraw him. And Lynn Szymanski and Donner have now taken her place as the traveling reserve. So it's just, you're excited for Lynn and Donner. Of course, they're fan favorite with Donner being an off-track thoroughbred, but it's just so disappointing for Maya, and our hearts really go out to her team. It's just one of those things. As we get closer to the Olympics, those little injuries inevitably crop up and your whole run to Rio can end just like that. And that's unfortunately what happened for them.
I'm sad for her. She's really come into the forefront over the last year, Rolex and everything. And she has a huge fan base, Maya does. And I'm sad that happened. And it would have been great experience for her going forward to future WEGs, if there are any, and, you know, Olympics. So, yeah. It is sad.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're all kind of looking to them as a very strong possibility to make the team for the 2018 World Equestrian Games.
We all root for the underdog, right? I mean, that's just human nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they'll be back. Thankfully, not a major injury. He'll be back out competing next season, so he'll have a bit of time off now. And now Lynn and Donner will go to Rio as our traveling reserve. So.
Well, on another note, I reported on Friday that our good friend Jessica Phoenix, who's been coming on our show since day one, 9 years ago, is on the team after filing a, what do they call it?
She launched an appeal.
An appeal. And won the appeal, which apparently is unusual. I mean, they don't usually win appeals from the from history. So I don't know what happened there. She's supposed to be on the show here on Wednesday. So hopefully.
So did she kick somebody off the team?
Who got booted?
So Catherine Robinson and Let It Be were the ones who got booted. Those are a combination based over in England, so we don't see them as much. But yes. She competes for Canada, and you know it's one of those kind of unfortunate things where they ended up picking the team early, but not officially announcing it. Jessica launched an appeal during that time, and then won the appeal, and then yes, Catherine is now going as the traveling reserve instead.
I mean, it's happy and sad, right? I mean, it's happy
it
for
is.
Somebody and sad for another.
It is, but it's you know, what can you do? And it came down to the results. When you were comparing results, Jessica argued that hers were better and won the appeal. So now she's going. And I think everyone listening who follows Eventing knows what an amazing competitor Jessica is. I personally couldn't have imagined the Canadian Olympic team without her. Mm-hmm. I think she's, especially under high pressure, she really rises to the occasion when it counts. And when you're talking about the Olympic Games, I think you want Jessica on your team. She's kind of the Philip Dutton of the Canadian team. So it's just, she's the anchor rider. And I think it's great for the team that she's going, but unfortunate that it had to happen in this way.
Yeah. Well, there's been a couple of other teams too that have had this happen, right? So what about the other team? Well, first of all, I saw that Michael Young just won something big again, right? Over the weekend.
Yeah, so
never heard of him.
That Aachen was over Aachen. Yeah, that guy. Michael Young won Aachen over the weekend, which is what Germany was using, and a lot of the countries used it as kind of their final countdown event to before making their teams, which has to be finalized today, actually. So Germany announced on Saturday once Aachen.
Let me guess,
over,
Michael's on the team.
Yeah, so he's on the team with Fisher Takanu, which is the horse that he won with. And it's the one that he's been kind of saying for, you know, months and months and months that he thought this was the right horse for Rio. And he, and it's interesting because it's not Sam, the one that we all know, the one that he won badminton on, and it's not Fisher Akana, the one we all know, he won Rolex on her. He specifically spotlighted this horse as the one he wanted to take, and then went and won Aachen over the weekend and kind of sealed the deal for himself. But this is the horse he won the European Championships on last fall with what turned out to be a broken leg. He actually broke it Burley and then kind of kept it a secret. He was riding around on a Segway and everyone was kind of, you know, thought that was funny, but it turned out that that was because his leg was broken. So then he went and rode anyway, won the European Championships with this horse, and now they're going to Rio as definitely the front runners to take the individual gold medal. I don't think anyone would argue with that.
It's, you know, and if he was allowed to take the other two horses, he'd just be the whole team and they'd win that too.
Exactly. Yeah.
pretty much
and,
the way it is, right?
German, I know. And to top it all off, not only do they have Michael Young on their team with the current European champion horse, but you have the reigning world champions in Sander Offert and Aachen Lauvo, who are, you know, just as they are every year, they are perfectly on form and looking fantastic. And then you also have Ingrid Klimka and horsewear Hale Bob, who just had a top finish at Aachen as well, looks fantastic. And then Andreas Ostholt on his horse, So Is It. So it's going to be, it's a formidable team, you guys. It's, they're definitely going in as the favorites to win, and the question becomes who, if anyone, can dethrone them.
Didn't the Aussies do well at this show over the weekend, though?
They did. The Aussies actually won the Nations Cup. Looked great. I'm definitely excited for them. At the same time, disappointed that our U.S.-based Aussie, Ryan Wood, was not named to the team. Not only was he not named to the team, but they didn't even consider him for, you know, a reserve slot. They didn't put him on the Nations Cup team for Aachen. That was really disappointing to me because Ryan's just about, you know, done everything he could have done this season, had one of the strongest season, finished Rolex with two horses, then he won Jersey Fresh with Powell, then he won Bromont with Woodstock Bennett. And so we were really, really hoping that the Australian selectors might give him a nod. He's just worked incredibly hard since moving over to the States from Australia, and we're pretty bummed that he didn't get that. But if I know Woodsy, he's going to double down and he'll come out stronger and better for it. But yes, the Australian team is looking good based on what we saw this past weekend at Aachen.
And now we are only, what, 3 weeks away from the start of the games themselves. Any new word from Rio? Any scuttlebutt on what's going on there?
Well, I read a Wall Street Journal article that was, the basic gist of it was trying to have a positive outlook on the Olympics. You know, it was trying to be positive when everything has been so negative, and it kind of fell a little flat. I mean, everyone knows that it's probably not going to be pretty, Glenn. I don't know another way to say it. I'm really optimistic. I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to South America before. And I'm thankfully going to be able to ride the Olympic transportation system, which hopefully means I'll be able to, you know, get around and do my job. But for everybody who's going as spectators and even, you know, the owners of the horses and the coaches and the support staff, you know, I'm definitely concerned for them. It's just going to be kind of an uphill battle every day just to do what we need to do over there. So I really don't know what to expect at all.
You know, Jenny, on the, another thing on the bright side, your little shrunken head babies that you have someday are going to be so cute.
That was mean.
No.
Leslie's just jealous she's not going.
Oh, no, Jenny. Jenny can have this one. I had enough fun over there last year.
Yeah.
Little shrunken head babies.
Yeah. Leslie thinks she's hilarious. She got me this T-shirt that has a kitten's face with like the American flag behind it for me to wear there. So I'm gonna be protected by kittens, you guys. I'm not gonna get Zika or anything like that. Got America and kittens on my side. It's gonna be fine.
Well, I saw that they were gonna light the torch, and it was gonna be a citronella candle. So
yeah,
I think that's genius.
I think so many people sent that to me over the weekend. That comic, of the Olympic torch being a giant citronella candle, which I thought was very clever and amusing. I mean, I am taking, you know, bug spray, obviously.
You have a rape person?
No, but that's probably a good idea too. Yeah. I mean, I did get some vaccines. Mm-hmm. I got a few vaccines because my husband kind of peer pressured me into it. So I'm protected against, you know, hepatitis A and typhoid. So not going to get those. That's good news, right? Trying to see the silver lining. So,
oh, you'll be fine. The Olympics will be fine. Everything will work. NBC will make it look lovely and it'll all be good.
Bob Costas will do his best to not get an eye infection.
He's still alive, by the way.
He'll be fine. How dare you?
No, you know what? When I was watching coverage of, I think it was the Kentucky Derby, that eye on Bob Costas still doesn't look quite right to me after he had that pink eye debacle. I'm like, oh, poor Bob. Yeah,
I know.
Could be worse, guys. I could have pink eye. Okay,
we're talking about residual. Bob Costas is the same show we talked about Clinton Anderson. That's just something wrong with that. So now I do have to ask you one more thing before we let you go. We're running over here a little bit, but I don't care. The WAG Canada deal. You know, we covered that last week, and of course, you know, there were a couple websites in Canada reporting on the fact that the government is just not playing along, and without the government, there's no private sponsors. Without the private sponsors, there's no WAG. So my prediction was, because we still got the battle going on in Lexington, to quickly move it to Lexington, we still got the Rolex and Longines thing, and unless they divide the horse park in half and say, you get this half, you get the other, we still have that battle. So my guess is it just moves to Aachen. Any inside word you can report on?
No inside word at this point, but you know, Rolex kind of has the FBI backed into a corner, and that they are a major sponsor at so many key venues, and so the fact that FBI chose to partner with Longines instead has really tied their hands, and especially in a situation like this. So I think we're going to see some changes come out of this, whether in regards to, you know, where the games can be held. I personally think that doing some sort of rotation permanently between Aachen and Lexington would...
That's what I've said for 10 years. It's like...
Well, a lot of people have said it, and I don't know what we need to do. Get on the rooftops and scream it. But Leslie and I went to Normandy and saw, you know, firsthand what a train wreck that was. And unfortunately, I just don't think that the current model is set up to succeed. And we're seeing it once again.
What's too expensive to succeed? You know, and the biggest cost for these venues is building the venues. And once we have Aachen that's built and perfect for this, we have Lexington that's built and perfect for it, it cuts the cost in like a tenth of what it costs to put on a WAG. So why not? You're right. It's almost like, now I'm going to be on my soapbox. Jamie was on hers earlier. It's almost like the FEI doesn't want it to succeed. The WAG has, and if you look at the history of the WAG, you're going to see back to day one, it has been fraught with nightmare. I mean, it's just been one little nightmare after another. Some of them were big nightmares in the WAGs where they were held. It's always been a problem moving it around. It always has. I don't know. What do you think about 2018? Will there be one, or will we skip that one?
I think that there will be one. The question is obviously where, and the question is also how soon do they make that decision? I spoke to
my... It'll be soon. We only got, 2 years? So.
Right, yeah. Right. I spoke to my contact at the FBI last week, who said that essentially they are sitting down with the organizing committee and also Equestrian Canada, the National Federation, to try to get the full picture and to look at next steps.
The full picture is there's no money and nothing's been even started.
Exactly. So I think that they're going to look at it and probably try to make a move very quickly. I would not be surprised if we have an announcement this week as far as what is going to happen, and I anticipate we will see it move to a different venue. So
my 20 bucks is on Aachen. I'm just throwing that out there.
That I love Aachen. It's amazing. I've been lucky to go a couple times for Eventing Nation, and I mean they did a wonderful job hosting in 2006, and so we already know that they could do it again. So
Glenn,
I think that's a fantastic idea, Glenn.
Thank you.
Glenn, I've been to the racetrack with you, and you would never put $20 on something.
No, that's true. Okay, $2. I'll go too.
Your $2 bet is
Jenny, Leslie, thank Leslie. I apologize for coming into the middle of that, but you started it, so what the hell? It's all your fault in the first place.
Anytime.
Yeah, and Jenny, thank you so much for saving us today. We appreciate that too.
So that's what I'm here for, guys. That's what I'm here for.
HorseNation.com, EventingNation.com. You're going to want to check Eventing Nation every day now until the Olympics. Check it every day anyway, but every day from now until the Olympics, because all the coverage that about eventing that you're going to need is there. And then Horse Nation, if you need a chuckle in the middle of all of that, I don't think
or
she's...
Or you just need to get mad
if you
didn't
need
up.
To get controversial, apparently that's Horse Nation too. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Have a great week, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Jenny for saving the day today.
I don't think she saved the day. We didn't need saving. You're just part of the show.
I'm just busting your chops.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny did a good job. She always does. We always get the straight scoop from Jenny, too, about what's
she
going on.
She breathes.
We're
eventing.
Only 3 weeks away from the Olympics. I mean,
that's
it's
exciting.
Coming quick. And NBC, by the way, there was some talk about who was covering what or how the coverage was going to be on one of our Facebook pages. NBC is supposed to be covering, supposed to be, because, you know, who knows, but it's supposed to be covering every event of everything. So every race, every ride, everything they're supposed to be covering. Now, it'll be online, so you'll have to watch it on your computer if you don't have a hook up your TV. But they're supposed to be covering everything like they did the last time. And we could watch it the last time. I mean, we watched it. So I think NBC's coverage is going to be the least of things that they have to worry about with Rio. That'll get pulled off one way or another. But you're leaving. Have a great trip.
Thank you. I'm going to go try to play cowgirl.
You're going to Wyoming, right?
Well, the awesome thing is that I potentially am going to Wyoming because my husband is now an airline pilot. We get to fly for free. The good news is we get to fly for free. The bad news is he thinks you should never buy a plane ticket and you just go stand by. And if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't.
So you might be home tomorrow, too.
I am by myself with my child flying to Los Angeles tomorrow and then attempting to catch a flight to go up to Jackson Hole, which the flights look pretty good going there on a Tuesday. I might never get home, apparently. Everything is overbooked and like the ride back home. So
do they put the wives in those little jumper seats? Do
you get the little? No. No, they won't do that. That's why Chad's flying up by himself because he can get there. He just gets in a jump seat with the pilots and goes on up. So wish me luck.
Is this just vacation? Is this just for fun?
Yeah, just a vacation. We just need a vacation. Chad's working two jobs and I can't wait till
September. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, just a little vacation time. And then I'm going to go to Monty Roberts. So life is good. Life is good. Well, I can't complain. I'm not a horse getting my ass raped. So I'm good.
We'll miss you. We're going to have the CHA tomorrow. We'll have a guest co-host on Wednesday and then trail riding Thursday and then Friday. And no really bad ads this week, but we will have the episode that Jamie and I recorded with Jared Rogerson, his CD release party, which was a lot of fun. So,
awesome.
And you'll be back a week from today. Is that correct?
I will, hopefully, and if I may catch a
you
flight
make it back,
home.
Right. Okay, good.
I was like, just buy a ticket, honey. He's like, no, we can do it. We can do it. I'm like, So, yeah, I plan on being back Monday and wish everybody the best. I'll be posting pictures, I'm sure. And again, hopefully it's of the Tetons.
Well, relax and have a good
if
time.
If not, it's going to be L.A. traffic.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of flights that go out of L.A. to Hawaii. Leave your husband, get the flight up to the Tetons. You go to Hawaii.
Oh, don't think we haven't thought about that.
You and the baby to Hawaii, husband and the Tetons.
Peace out. See you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a great one. I'm exhausted. I'm going back to bed. This show put me out. I'm going to go listen to some good Dixie Chicks songs.
Yeah. The old ones.
The old ones.